January 9th, 2018.
I might die. I only got one bar on my back.
I saw your picture, but I didn't go.
How was London?
Very nice. Very nice. Had a good time.
Had a long weekend.
Yes.
I think we left off Tzadik Zayin and Aleph.
Yeah.
Just to review again, because the Gemara is going to continue on the theme. Let's start again the Mishnah. Tzadik Vav on the base. There's a pasuk in Chumash Gid on Asher Zosim. Okay. So, dreif. So let's have a little bit of chaza, and I cooked the chaza with a vegetable soup. So that's a din. So the chaza I'm going to take out and throw it, feed it to the dog, whatever. What about the vegetable soup? So if you don't have shishim in the vegetable soup against the chazer, it'll probably give an asinus tam, and that's called tam ki iker. Even though it's way less than 50%, but if you don't have shishim, so it gives an asinus tam, so you're not allowed to eat. So the Mishnah says the din applies to gidon asher as well. If you cook gidon asher, yerech shen is bashal bo gidon asher. I cooked a big piece of flesh with the gidon asher in it. He's supposed to trade with the flesh. He's supposed to remove the gid anasha before you cook it. He didn't remove it, so he cooked it with the flesh, and he makes the whole thing trade. So Tosfos points out, the Gemara says later, we don't pass like the Mishnah, because we pass in the gid menaisin tam. That's the last line on the tzadik tesam in base. Hilchasa, we don't pass like the Mishnah, in the gid menaisin tam. That the gid anasha doesn't make, the gid anasha is treif, but it doesn't succeed in giving the sinas tam, so the rest of the yerech, the rest of the whole flesh or the vegetable soup will be kosher. So Shmuel is commenting on the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadik Vav Amud Beis, where it says Gemara Omer Shmuel that it makes dreif the whole flesh. That's only if nizbashel bo. If you cook the whole piece of flesh with the gilanashi with liquid, so the roitev the soup is mevalbal atam. So if you don't have shishim and the flesh against the gilanashi, the Mishnah holds it makes straight. We don't pass like the Mishnah. It doesn't make straight. The Mishnah holds straight. What if you just broiled it the way it is? So then the Gid Anoshim will only succeed in giving the Sinas Tam. Kidei Klipo or Kidei Netilo? That's the question. It'll only answer the next slice of flesh. Because if you have it right, if you cook it with the liquid, so the liquid will transmit the flavor throughout the whole pot. Everything will have an Sinas Tam. And if you have Shishim, then everything will be mut. If you don't have shishim, everything will be osir. But if you only broiled it, so it only succeeds in making osir the next bit of flesh. That's a question. Is it kedei netilo or kedei klipa? Kedei klipa means you scrape off a tiny amount, and kedei netilo means slightly twice as big as that, twice as thick as that. It means not time you scrape off a little bit. You have to cut off the thinnest piece of flesh that will hold together. That's called kedei netilo. Kedei klipa is less than that, so that's a shaila and Tosfos and in Shulchan Aruch. How much do you asa if you have tzliya? So we distinguish between tzliya and maliach. If you salt, let's say I salt flesh in order to take the blood out. Because if you have a raw piece of flesh, you can eat it the way it is, even though it has a lot of blood in the capillaries. That's called damei varm shelo pirish. If you have, let's say, blood arteries or veins, big arteries or veins, so that's dam. So that's awesome. That's dam. But if you have blood in the capillaries, So if you eat the meat the way it is, raw meat, so Tosis in the first parak has a raya that it's mutter. We learned that already. Has a dam bevam shel pirush is mutter. And even a liver, that the liver is kaved, is kula dam, also, you're allowed to eat raw liver if you want to, without salting it, without broiling it. Dam bevam shel pirush is mutter. But if you're going to cook it, if you're going to cook the flesh without salting it in a pot, so the dam is going to go out into the soup, and then it's going to go, or if there's no soup, the dam is going to go into the pot, and it's going to go back into the kaved. It's going to go back into the piece of flesh. That's already dam yivorim shed pirish. A dam yivorim shed pirish is an isa. Happens a dam shed bishloi is a machloikis in the Gemara. Is it an isa derais, an isa derabon? It's Ashkenazim paskan that dam shed bishloi is only derabon. The isa dam only applies if you have a perot piece of meat and you squeeze out the dam, and then you drink it the way it is. Once you've cooked it, it's considered like mohel habasar. Let's say you have a piece of flesh and you salt it. You salt it for half an hour. The minig is you wash it, you soak it for an hour, then you salt it for an hour, then you wash it off afterwards. So let's say if you salted the piece of meat, every speck of blood comes out. There's always going to be a lot of blood left. So how can you eat any piece of meat? There's always blood left. Yes, there is. If you salted it the way you're supposed to, so the blood that came out. And the blood that didn't come out, the halacha declares that it's moel habosa. It's considered the juice of the meat. So the same thing, what about dam shebishla? So the reason why the Torah says we're not allowed to eat dam is because the dam is supposed to be reserved. Dam of kabon is supposed to be reserved to be zorek on the mizbeach. So, and the din is that if you shech the carbon and you have kabolas adam, let's say you have the container, you have kabolas adam, and then you cook the dam before you do the zrik on the mizbeach. So dam shebishlo, you're not yotze the din of zrik on the mizbeach. Same thing, let's say the emurim. You have to burn the emurim on the mizbeach, or the korban oily, you burn the whole thing on the mizbeach. If you cooked it first, then you burn it, so you're not yotze. Same thing, let's say, yayin. You have to have minchasim in iskeim. Whenever you bring a korban, you have to pour wine down the shisin in conjunction with the korbanis. So yayim avushal is possible in a sochem. You can't use it in a sochem. Dam shebishla is no good for zrika on the mizbeach, and yayim avushal is not acceptable for nisoch hayayin, and evorim, the emurim, that the chelav that you have to burn on the mizbeach from every korban, and the korban oil, you burn the whole thing. If you cooked it first and then you burn on the mizbeach, it's not, you're not yotze. You're not yotze. The korban is good without the emurim, but you're not yotze.
So.
Nisach HaMayim, I don't know. What's the din if you cook the water in advance? Would it pass on? It's a good child. I don't know. I thought I know that.
Yayin Mevushel be passing nowadays that you use it for
Kiddush
and Abrakos.
Right, you can use it, yeah.
But only for Nisach HaYayin.
For the Mizbeach, it's no good. Yayin Mevushel for the Mizbeach. So because you're not allowed to use it for the Mizbeach, so the Nochrim, the Ovdi, Avodah Zarah also would probably not use it for nisach hayayin l'avodah zarah. So if you have maga nochri, if a nochri processes the wine, nochri manufactures the wine. So that's also because of b'nai sehen. We're afraid it's going to lead to intermarriage. Just like bishalakam and pasakam, if the goy cooks food, even though you're watching it, you see everything is kosher. If the goy bakes bread, so if the next neighbor gives me his Italian bread, I see everything is kosher, so there's a chashash may lead to intermarriage. So wine that's processed by a nachri is also because it may lead into marriage. But it shouldn't be also b'achila, shouldn't be also b'hanoah, like bishalakum and pasakum is only also b'achila, it's muta b'hanoah. But because there's an additional concern, a far-fetched concern, then maybe he was menasach the yayin l'avodah zarah, so we say it's even also b'hanoah. So because of that, Tosfos says for that chashash alone, they would not have prohibited wine that's handled by a goy, because it's such a far-fetched chashash. If he's benasach et l'avodah zarah, then he's going to give it to a human being to drink. So what's with this avodah zarah? So it's not too serious an avodah zarah. But once they made the gzeirah mishum b'naseihem, that yayin that was manufactured by the goy, if you'll drink it, may lead to intermarriage. So they threw in this chashash also, that if not only is it also b'shti, it's also b'hanah as well. So that's why it's also, even if the goy didn't manufacture the wine, let's say it's kosher wine, but the goy poured the wine, or the goy handled the wine, so there's also the chashash of nisach, so you're not allowed to drink it. So if it's wine that was not processed by the goy, wine, kosher wine, and the nochri pours it, or the nochri handles it, he stirs it, so that's a chashash nisach. So since in the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to use Yayim Mevushal for Nisuch. So of the Avodah Zarah, in the days of the Gemara, never used to use Yayim Mevushal for Avodah Zarah purposes. So the Chachamim never prohibited. Magad Nochri, the Yayin Shal Yisrael. If you have Welch's grape juice, first the Goy made grape juice, he made wine, and then he cooks it. So it already became treif when he made the wine. It doesn't become kosher when he's going to cook it. But if it's kosher wine, processed by Jewish company, then the Goy handles it. So the whole Chashash is only, there is no Chashash Mishum, but they say him. If I like the wine, I'll marry Mr. Kedem's daughter. I'll marry Mr. Carmel's daughter. I'm not going to marry the waiter's daughter. The waiter just poured the wine. Why should I marry his daughter? I'll marry the one who processed the wine. So the whole chashash is mishum nisuch. So the whole chashash nisuch is I'm a vushal, so you don't have to worry about nisuch. That's what it says in the Gemara, yeah. Water, I don't know. From nisuch hamayim on sukkahs, what if they cook the water? I don't know. Interesting, shayla. So here, grata, if you have flesh and you cook it without salting it, so the dam is going to, if you eat the flesh raw, even raw liver, you eat it. So the dam ivarm shalot pirish is mutter. That it's moel abosa. But if you're going to cook it the way it is and not salted, then the dam is going to go out into the pot and it's going to go back into the piece of flesh. So that'll already be, that there'll be dam shapirish. But the worst it's going to be is only the rabbanim, because it's dam shabishloi. We, but there are more paskins for sure. The dam shabishloi is only the rabbanim. The Mechaber, that's a Dion and Achroidim. How the Mechaber Paskin, whether Rabbi Yosef Karev Paskins for this Vardim, does he also accept like that opinion? Because in Menachos, it's a Machloikos, whether Damshe Bishlis and Issa Darais and Issa Darabon. The Gemara says, because the Torah says the reason why you're not allowed to eat Dam, because the Dam is reserved to be Zorik on the Mizbech. So Damshe Bishlis, you cannot be Zorik on the Mizbech. So maybe there's no Issa Darais on Damshe Bishlis. Maybe I say Damshe Bishlis is also like Moel habasa, like if you salt the flesh, whatever dam is left after salting it is mutter. I declare that it's moel habasa. Like if you eat the raw flesh and you never salted it, but dam yivam shalop here is moel habasa. So the same is if it's dam shebishlo, it's also called moel habasa. That's how we pass. It's only in Yisrael Rabbanan. Yeah. So there's a din. So the Gemara Nachmal, there's a din maliach kiraseach. Let's say I salted two pieces of meat, one on top of the other. So one piece is kosher flesh, and one piece is nevela meat. I bought nevela meat from the A&P, and I salted it to get out the dam. I salted it two pieces of meat, one on top of the other. So if you put enough salt, that makes it very salty. It's too salty. You sprinkle a little salt, it gives it flavoring. That's not enough to make a treifin, to give an asinus dam. But if it's so salty, very salty, then it'll succeed in giving a tam one and the other. So if you have, so the Gemara is going to talk about that, if you have two pieces of meat or two pieces of fish, one is a kosher fish and one is a treifa fish, and you're salting it, and you put one piece on top of the other, so moliach kiraseach, just like if you would broil the meat, that would give an asinus tam a little bit, an inch, or three quarters of an inch, where it's touching the treifa fish, or the treifa meat is touching the kosher meat, or the kosher fish. So a little bit either kadei klipa, kadei natila, half an inch or three quarters of an inch will become treif. So the same is true regarding moliach. If you salt them and they're touching, then it asa. So we split the psak, whether it does it, if you have two pieces of meat touching each other and you broil it like that, or you have one piece of meat and it has the gid anasha in it. So the Mishnah says the gid anasha does succeed and making treif the rest of the flesh. We don't pass it like that. We pass it in the Gidim and Eisen Tam. But according to the Mishnah that it does Asa, so how much does it Asa? So does it Asa Kedei Klipa, which is a half an inch, or a quarter of an inch, or does Asa Kedei Netila, which is three quarters of an inch? How much does it Asa? So we split the Psak, and we are Machma by Tzliya, and Mekel on Malicha. By Malicha we say it only Asa is a slight amount, Kedei Klipa, and by Tzliya it Asa is Kedei Netila.
We don't usually
call
it like the
tatoi gover
or anything like that when you put
bleach
on top of a regular
meat. Tatoi gover, iloi gover means if one is hot, one is cold. If they're both hot.
But you say bleach for a seyach, so consider it for a seyach,
though. The one?
Bleach for a seyach.
Yeah.
So you don't consider it hot?
If one is salty and one is not salty, one is tofel. Then there's going to be a discussion whether you apply tatoi gova to salting. But if if everything is being broiled, everything is being salted, everything is salty, so then there's no issue of tatoi loy. Everything is considered kitzli. If one is salty, one is not, then it's going to be a discussion whether tatoi gova carries over. Tatoi gova starts off, the discussion is by tzliya. One is burning hot, one is cold. Which one is moving and which one is stationary, so which one makes a bliya and which? So that's a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch, whether those rules and regulations, tatoi gova, whether that carries over to malicha also. But if everything is salty, then everything is resech. So again, just to review, so Shmuel says, when do you say that the Gid Anasha asks the whole Yerech? Doesn't only ask the first half an inch next to it. He said, that's only if you have Reitiv. If you have Nizbashel, it means you have liquid there. So the flavor of the Gid Anasha, the Mishnah holds Yesh begin with us in Tam, but the flavor is going to be Nizbalbel, it's going to go through the whole Yerech, and it's going to ask the whole Yerech. Avol Nitzle, but if you just broiled the piece of flesh with the Gid Anasha in it, then the maximum it asks is 3/4 inch next to it, and that's all. And nitzle only kailaf yoichalachem agiligit. You can keep on slicing slices of flesh. Everything is kosher till the next gedei klipa next to the gid anasha. So only asks is a little bit. Feg demar kasha. How can it be? On the last two lines on tzadik vav on the base. Eini, it's not true. How can you say if you broil it, everything is kosher? Amar avuna, avuna gave a psak gedisha tzala bechelvay. I have every behemoth tahira has chalev in it while it's alive. So he shecht it, so he's supposed to remove all of the chalev. They didn't remove the chalev. They broiled the gedi, they had a goat, and they broiled it the way it is with the chalev. So he says, not only can you not eat the first half an inch that's touching the chalev, you can't eat even the furthest distant. The chalev is all the way by the stomach, and this is 3 feet away. The tip of the ear can eat afila meiresha osnai, because you assume that the chaylev is pashet when you broil it, it's gedisha tzaloi. He broiled it; it didn't cook it in a pot with roitev with liquid, and nonetheless you say that the chaylev is nispashet through the whole thing, even 3 feet away. And think more, that's a different thing. Shaina chaylev demefafek. That's on the top line in Tzadik Zayin. That chaylev is shamnunis adav shamein. So that's going to travel. Mefafek means going to travel even 3 feet away. Freg di Gemara, is that true? That whenever there's chaylev, it's going to travel even more than a half an inch. Freg di Gemara, that's what Rav Huna sounds like he said. But now they ask Akasha from Rav Yechanan. Rav Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Huna lived in Bavel. But it could be they disagree with each other. That's what the Gemara is asking. Do they disagree on this point? Freg di Gemara, Rabbi Bar Bachana was a Talmud of Rav Yechanan. He got smicha from him. So the Gemara says, Uv the Habakam made Rabbi Yochanan, that once a Shabbat came up in a certain community, Beknishta de Ma'on, that's the name of the city, Beknish et Zola Bechalvo, they broiled a goat with the chalev, they forgot to remove the chalev, and they came and they asked Rabbi Yochanan, V'asav v'shalvu Rabbi Yochanan, and he said, the same thing, you can slice all you want, you can eat all the flesh, until you get to the first, to the next half an inch of flesh that's touching the chalev, that's asar, and the rest of the gdi is mutter. So it does not contradict what Rav Huna said. Maybe they disagree. So the Gemara says they don't think they disagree. And for the Gemara, on the fourth line, on the fifth line from the top, and for the Gemara, Ahu, that case of Rabbi Yochanan, Kocha Shabbat. That was a skinny animal. Let's say the people in the concentration camp. There was skin and bones. But they had fat also in their body. Had a little fat. But the fat was not fatty. The fat was so lean. So when do you say that an animal that has chalev is fatty and it's mefafea, it's mispashet the whole distance, even if you're only doing tzli, that's if it's fatty fat. But if it's kochish, it was a skinny malinka of a gedi, so then it doesn't asa, it does not mefafea kedei kula, only a little bit. Shai. So that's the first answer the Gemara gave. The maisa of Rabbi Yechanan must have been a special case. The chalev was not fatty fat, it was kochish, it was a skinny animal, and it's not mefafea. The Gemara says maybe there's a different version of this story. Rav Huna by Yehuda, it was a different story. Kulya b'chel v'ahava, the shariot. Rabbi Yechanan wasn't mata. It wasn't that they broiled the gedi with the chalev. The kloyos are the kidneys. So the chalev kloyos, chalev shala kloyos is also, it says in Chumash, the fat on top of the kidneys is an isa deraisa, isa kares. But Rashi explains it has a membrane around it. So when you broil the whole gedi, that other, apparently other chalovim do not have a membrane separating the chalif and the rest of the animal. So then that chalif will be mefafek and kula, like Rav Huna said. But the maisa shehoya by Rav Yechon that he was meiko was only the chalif hakloyas was left in. The sharia and Rav Yechon allowed it because Rashi says that there's a membrane that separates. From the mafsik kruma, there's a krum that separates. Rav and Baravadu Amar, and Gantz in a different version, he says the whole story is wrong. Oh, you got it, kakai. It wasn't the story of chelev, it was the story of a treif of fish. Kilchis bilchis have vasar shal Rav Yechon amlu. What's kilchis? So Rashi says, they're a non-kosher fish. A fish, in order to be kosher, has to have fins and scales. There's a Mishnah Nida. The Mishnah says any fish that has, all the fish, most of the fish have fins. So if the fish has scales, be yodua that it has fins. If it has fins, doesn't necessarily mean that it has scales. So you have to have fins and scales. So the kilchis is a tray for fish. There are many non-kosher fish. So and they cooked it in a pot. Kilchis bechel b'hav. What is it? Kilchis be'ilfis hav. It wasn't that they cooked. It wasn't that they broiled the gedi with the chalif. No, they cooked the treif of fish in a pot. And the shayla was whether it makes treif. Well, so Shalom Rabbi Yechanan, they asked the shayla, so they said, what do you mean? They cooked the fish in a treif of pot. Then afterwards they cooked some flesh in the same pot and the same day. So the shayla was whether the flavor of the treif of fish went into the meat later on. So how are you going to know? V'amaluhu, so Rabbi Yechanan, give paskin, the tamik feila aramor. Let a goyish chef taste the flesh to see and ask him whether it has the flavor of the fish or not. So if it doesn't have the flavor of the fish, then it's mutter, then it's not in sin to stop. If it has the flavor of fish, then it's a problem. That's the din of tam ki iker. Why can't you cook kosher food in a treifa pot? Because we assume the treifa blia goes into the pot, then you're going to wash out the pot. You know, if you do hagola, so we assume that the hagola will succeed in removing all the treifa blia. If you didn't do agola, so we assume that you're going to cook some kosher food later within the same 24 hours. If you wait 24 hours, so we assume that's a gemara with the Zohar. So the bli and the pot, because the metal flavor of the pot, or a klicheres, so the earthenware flavor of the pot, is going to do a job on the flavor, so it's going to make it into nice l'cham l'gam. It's not going to taste good at all. So then it does nasa. But if you cook the kosher food in the treifa pot within 24 hours of having cooked the treifa food, then the treif of food will probably succeed in giving an asinah stam into the kosher food. So you have to test it and see. That's a shada today. Everybody uses stainless steel pots. So they made studies. They say stainless steel is hardly bolea at all. It's bolea less than glass. And glass is a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. So Rabbi Yosef Karo paskins the Shulchan Aruch, he assumes that glass is bolea so little, you know for sure you always have shisha. So by many svardim, they don't have two sets of dishes. They have glass. They have glass dishes, and they wash it out well. They're between fleshiks and milchiks, and even if you use it for treif, you assume glass is not bole. So the Ramah is machmer. Ramah is machmer that we say we're concerned maybe glass is bole. We know that glass is not bole, but we're concerned maybe it is bole. Remember, I had Professor Shmuel Soloveitchik for chemistry. So maybe we were doing some experiment with a test tube. And what material is the test tube is made from? Pyrex, I think.
Pyrex, yeah.
I think it's made from Pyrex. So I asked him whether Pyrex is bolea. So he screamed at me and said, idiot! He used to be very nervous. He said, idiot! If the Pyrex would be bolea, so the whole experiment would be cockeyed. Because you used one chemical an hour ago, then use and you're putting in so many drops of a camera called bidiyuk, exactly so much. The whole experiment will be off kilter because it has the blia from previous conversations. Right. Obviously, Pyrex is not bolea. For sure, it's not bolea. So that's what the mechaber holds. Pyrex glass is not bolea, and it's so insignificant a bolea you can forget about it. And the Ramah was machmer. The Ramah says we're not sure, so we have to be concerned that maybe glass is bolea, and we treat it like klicheres. Klicheres you can't even do hagola on. So because glass is made from sand, it starts off as sand from the earth, so we treat the glass kalim as if the klicheres and even hagola does not. It's a very wild chumra, a very big chiddush. But that's there are more quotes like that in Hilchas Pesach. There's a big machloikis in the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch, what the Ramah meant to say. So it's only in Hilchas Pesach. So some say the Ramos Chumra is only by Pesach. It doesn't apply all year long. So Chumra, because Chometz is B'mashu, we're afraid that maybe Glias has a B'liya Mashu. And most of the Poskim assume that that's not correct. The Ramos wrote all the Dinim in Hilchas Pesach, and then in Yeridea, in the second Chelik Yeridea, when you have the Simit about how to Kasha the Kalim. So he says, look what we wrote in Orach Chaim and Hilchas Pesach, and everything applies to all year long, to all the Trefik Kalim. So we assume the Chumra Ashkenaz and Mamachma, that the Chumra of the Ramah, that Glias is Balea, and you treat it like Klicheris and Hagol doesn't even help. We assume it does not only apply to Pesach, it applies all year long to Trefis. So that's the Shadda. Some want to say the stainless steel is even less Balea than Glias. Even Ashkenaz and Mamachma and Glias should be made on the stainless steel. So we're waiting. We'll have to have a conference of all the Kashrus organizations in the world. If they'll all adopt that position, it'll be good for the Jews. But you can't. One kashrus organization can't do it on their own, because the others will say that they're treif. So everybody's waiting to have that international conference. Yeah?
Is it possible that the Ramah's glass was different than our glass because of, you know, the manufacturing process?
Mm-hmm. It's very possible. Very possible. And still, even so, we assume that Mikra Adin, the whole Ramah is a Chumra. Mikra Adin, the Mechab is really right. But it's only a Chumra that we're Machma on the glass. Yeah, our glass for sure is much less Bolea. The stainless steel is less Bolea than that. They tested it out with radioactive isotopes. They say it's not Bolea. One in a billion, trillion, zillion, billion. So hardly any Bolea at all.
Does that affect Tfilas Kalim also? People, don't we make a broken glass if you double the Kalim?
Yeah, the Gemara says that the simple reading of the Gemara is that Tfilas Kalim on metal Kalim, forks and knives and metal pots, we assume that that's a din deraisa, a mitzvah min haTorah. So a mitzvah does make treif if you cook food in a kli that you want to earn teufel. So it does make the food treif, but you didn't fulfill a mitzvah. And then the Gemara sounds like it says that Tfilas Kalim on glasses, on glass pots, is only midirabon. That's a simple pshat in the Gemara. That's what we assume. Some hold that even Tfilas Kalim, a metal Kalim, is only an Asmachta Midirabbanan. The Gemara interprets a Pasuk like that, so some Rishonim say it's only Midirabbanan. And some Poskim hold that even Tfilas Kalim on glass is Menatur. But the Pasuk Pshat in the Gemara is not so. Pasuk Pshat is a metal Kalim, metal forks and knives, and metal pots and pans. The mitzvah Tfilas Kalim is a mitzvah Menatur. And the Tfilas Kalim on glass Kalim, glasses, and so on, is only Midirabbanan.
That's the Midirabbanan.
You say a bracha even though it's only with the Rabbanan. That's right. Yeah. Say a bracha and a mitzvah with the Rabbanan also. So the Gemara presented this case of Rabbi Yochanan. They were wondering, does Rabbi Yochanan disagree with Rav Huna? They have a right to disagree with each other. Does he disagree with Rav Huna or not? The Rav Huna said, if you broil a gdi with the chaylev is mifafeya, it's going to be mispashit the whole distance, the whole length of the gdi, even more than a half an inch that's touching it. And they even go 3 feet away. The chaylev is by the belly, and the ears are 3 feet away. It's mifafeya afila mereish ozna. So they said, doesn't it contradict the psak of Rabbi Yochanan, that he said, also gdi, shetzala b'chelvoy, and he said, you only ask the first half an inch that's next to the chaylev. You don't assume... that the chelev goes all the way. So the Gemara gave three different answers. So the first answer was it must have been a skinny malink of a goat, and the chelev has chelev, but the chelev doesn't have shamnunis, and it's not going to be mispash. Second answer was no, the whole story is wrong. It was the chelev shala kloyas, the chelev on the kidneys, which has a krum around it, so the krum, the membrane, prevents it from traveling further, so it only goes a little bit, only answers the first half inch. And then the next version was a ganzen kakai. Ganzen, a different version. They cooked a tray for fish in a pot. And then afterwards they didn't realize, then they cooked some kosher food in the pot. So the shadow was that the kosher food become treif. So it should be. The tray for fish gives a bliya into the walls of the pot. Mm-hmm. Then you wash it out. You don't wash it out. It doesn't correspond to hagola. Then you're going to cook kosher food later. So the tam habalua and the daif nehakder are going to go into the kosher food. So that was the Maisa Shehoya. And they asked Rabbi Yechon, what's a din? So he said, ask a goy to taste it. A goy is a chef. Kfela is a chef. Arama means Arami. Anochri. You can't ask a Jewish person to taste the soup that they cooked in the pot to see if it has a flavor from the treifa fish. There's going to be soup. Tasting treifa food. You're not allowed to taste treifa food in your mouth because you may by mistake swallow it. Even though you don't plan to swallow, you may by mistake swallow. Let's say you have some treifa drink that tastes awful. So nipsal me'achilas adam. So min ha'teretz muta, but min derabbanan, there's a machloikis, and we pass in the shulchan aruch. Min derabbanan, if you sit and you eat, let's say I have some treifa hot dogs or something, and left it out of the refrigerator for a month, and it's rotten, absolutely rotten. Nipsal me'achilas adam. So then min ha'teretz muta, but min derabbanan it's also. If you sit and you eat it, you sit and you drink this treifa food, you demonstrate achshavei. As far as I'm concerned, it is roi l'achilas adam. Harai, I'm eating it. So that's also the Rabban. So when do you say, Achshavei, I demonstrate that as far as I'm concerned it's edible, if I really sit and I eat the thing, then it's also. Let's say I'm rinsing my mouth with some kind of mouthwash, and the mouthwash comes from a treifa sauce. I'm not interested in swallowing it. I may swallow some of it. I may get stuck in my saliva, I may swallow some of it, but I'm not interested. So you can't say that that's Achshavei. If you sit and you drink the treifa stuff, even though it's nifsa machila, then you say, Achshavei, you demonstrate that as far as you're concerned, it's roi l'achila. So that's also mid rabbanim. Atar it's muta because it depends on roi b'ni adam, normal people. But mid rabbanim, we that's a machlokes, we pask mid rabbanim, it's also. But if you're going to rinse your bath out with it, with this treifa stuff that tastes awful, there is no Achshavei over there.
when would you say Achshavei as opposed to butler daita l'chalotam?
Minatari say butler daita etzel kolodom, and mid the rabbanon it's a machloek is the rosh and the rabban, so we pass them like the rosh, that it's also mid the rabbanon because of achshavei. But minatari say butler daita etzel das kol ben yodom. Since ruba the ruba people will never eat this thing, so it's called nifsa machilosan is muta. Chomis but pesach, to be muta has to be nifsa machilos hakelev. That's an exception to the rule. The question why? Why should chomis be different? But as far as dreifus is concerned, it depends on nifsa machilos adam. How do they know? Because the pasuk in Chumash says, what do you do with nevela? It says, you're not allowed to eat nevela. Lagera shavashach etetan abachala or mochala nochri. It says, either sell it to a non-Jew, if you have a nevela, or give it to a gertosha. A gertosha means a non-Jew who didn't, not a mechuyev to observe all the 613 mitzvahs, a non-Jew who accepted upon himself to observe the seven mitzvahs ben enough. But he's allowed to eat dreifus. So it's a mitzvah to give him tzedakah if he needs. Mitzvah l'hachayos, mitzvah to give him tzedakah. So the pasuk says, if you have nevela, give it to the ger toishav if he needs tzedakah. Or mochel anachri, sell it to a goy, or sell it to a ger toishav. If he doesn't need a handout, if he doesn't need any charity, he probably will need charity because the goyim will not be happy why he went to a bezn of three Jews to accept seven mitzvahs ben enoach. A ger toishav means a non-Jew who went to a bezn of three rabbis to accept Sheva Mitzvah's been enough. So some of the other goyim will not be so thrilled about giving him a job. Something strange about him. Why was he mekabel Sheva Mitzvah in front of a bezno three? So Mestama, he'll need some handout of tzedakah. So that's what the pasuk says, mitzvah l'achayoso. So the Gemara says on the pasuk, it's only nevela if it's nevela harui lager kuri nevela. If it's roi l'achila by the ger tosha. If it's nevela sheni roi lager and he can't fulfill what it says in the pasuk, give it to a ger toisho that he should eat it, then the nevela is muta b'achil. It's muta b'achil in minat Torah because roi b'ni adam wouldn't eat it. So I say, even if you do eat it, what will die to itself, that's called b'ni adam. But the rosh holds, and we pass like the rosh in Shulchan Aruch. And the rabbanon, you're not allowed to eat it because of achshavei. He demonstrates that as far as he's concerned, it is roi l'achil. So you see from the Gemara, let's say the food is roi l'achil, not nifsa. They just want to taste it, then you're going to spit it out. So still, you're not allowed to taste treifa food. That's based on, I think, that we discussed it. This again. We didn't discuss it, no. That's why I spoke about Ranana, this topic, Taka. There's a Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara has a suffix. If a person has the artzite, he's getting married, whatever, so he's mekabel tainus, he took a net, he's going to fast tomorrow, for some reason or another. So the Gemara has a suffix, is he and he's cooking food, he or she, they're cooking food, and he doesn't remember if he put in the salt or if he put in the flavoring. Is he allowed to taste the soup and spit it out just to see if it has the right flavor or not? So the Gemara says, he took a neder, So binadorm, we have a club. Binadorm haloch hachaloshim adiyonim. What's included in the nether and what's not included depends on loshim adiyonim. What did he say? Did he say, I'm not going to eat any soup? Did he say, I'm not going to eat any food? Did he say, I'm not going to drink any food? What's the tekazok? And you have a lot of mishnayis in the middle of binadorm. Dafim mishnayis go on and on and on. What's included in loshim adiyonim in the days of the Tanoim? Whatever they say then doesn't necessarily apply today because in modern Hebrew they speak everything differently. The words have a different connotation. So the Gemara has the suffix. If a person took a neder not to eat any food, he's going to be Yosha B'tainis. Should I say Achila Shtia, he was Mekabel, Tima, he was never Mekabel? Or do you say, no, maybe Tima is also included. The Gemara says, no, Tima is not included. So Tosfos says, on that Gemara, the suffix is only if the person took a neder, a chosen took a neder, he's going to fast the day of the wedding, or Yartzat took a neder, he's going to fast. So then that depends on his neder. What's included, what's not included. What about Asar B'Davis? It doesn't depend on him taking a neder. This Tani is Aksuvim. It says in Zechariah that you have to fast. So that doesn't depend on Loshem and Yodam. So there we say not a lot of taste food. Not a lot of taste food. So that's what the Gemara says over here. If they cook the treif of fish in the pot, and then they washed it out, and then they cooked some soup in the pot, so you have to give it to a goy to taste. The Jew is not allowed to taste it. Even though he's going to taste it and spit it out, not allowed to taste it because he may forget and he may swallow. If you have treif of food that's not royal achila, sometimes you go to the dentist and it gives you something to rinse your mouth out, some kind of something, and it tastes awful. So even if it's treif, if it tastes awful, so there's no problem that you may swallow. There is no achshavei over there. So that's not awesome. But if it's going to be roi lachila, then it's also to taste it. So Rabbi Yochanan says, in that case, when they cooked the treif of fish in the pot, then they cooked some kosher soup later on. So he said, letamik fei la'amor, let a goyish chef taste it, and then he'll tell us, mevinus, whether it has tam kiker, can you taste the flavor of the treif of fish in the soup or not? So Rabbi says, Rabbi lived way later, after Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was the first generation of Amoraim. Rabbi Yechanan learned by Rabbi Yudah Anasi. Rabbi Yudah Anasi was the end of the period of the Tanoim. So Rav, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yechanan, they all learned from Rabbi Yudah Anasi. Omar Rav, so Rav says, originally it was bothering me, I had a kasha, I didn't know pshat and a braisa. Mereish, years ago, havikol kashali, I had a difficulty, or the Tanya, it says in the braisa, kederish abisha babasar, if you have a fleshik pat, leivasha bacholav. You're not allowed to cook milk in a fleshik pot because the fleshik bli will come out into the milk and make basim b'cholav. In bishel, and if you did cook milchiks in a fleshik pot, so it depends, b'nois and tam. Can you taste the flavor of the flesh in the milk, then it's treif. If you can't taste the flavor of the flesh in the milk, then it's kosher. Same thing, truma. If you have a pot that the kohen cooked truma, so truma is not only a mitzvah to give it to a kohen, it's an isa for a non-kohen to eat the truma. It's an isa misa v'dei shamayim. So truma, if you cook truma in a pot, you shouldn't cook regular food in the same pot if you plan to feed the regular food to non-Kohanim. If it's only Kohanim, then there's no problem, unless the Kohanim aren't always tohar. To eat truma, you have to be a kohen, you have to be tohar. So the Kohanim are not always tohar. Sometimes they become tummy. So then they can eat truma. So they can eat the soup that was cooked in the pot within 24 hours. If they cook truma in a pot, so for the next 24 hours, whatever you're going to cook in the pot is going to have a tam of truma. So Azar cannot eat it, and the Kohen Tomi cannot eat it. So if you cook truma in a pot, leivash b'chulin, now better cook chulin. Then bishul benois and tam. And if you did cook soup in the pot, so then it depends, is there a tam of the truma in the soup or not? So Rava says, it always bothered me, I had a kasha, I never knew the answer. And now that I heard this in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, now everything is far enough. So he says, Bishleima, the second half of the Braisa, he understood. Truma, if you have a pot that was designated for truma, and then you cooked some chulin in it, you cooked some vegetable soup, so who's going to taste it to taste same avinus, whether it has a flavor, whether the vegetable soup, can you taste the flavor of the truma? Toim lakoy, let a religious Jew akoy, let him taste it. He's allowed to eat the truma, let him taste it. And he'll tell us whether it tastes like truma. If he'll tell us it doesn't taste like truma, we'll believe him. But the first line in the braisa, that if you have a pot that's designated as fleshing, and then accidentally cooked milk in it, so it says it depends, can you taste the flavor of the flesh in the milk, then it's osa. So who's going to taste it? The same as Venus? A Jew is not allowed to taste it, and made to, he made by mistake swallow, even though he plans to taste it and spit it out, but you made by mistake swallow it, you're not allowed to. So that was what bothered him. He didn't understand. Who's going to taste it? How does Bryce say to us and Tom? But now that I heard in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that you rely on a guy, so that's the pshat and not Bryce also. Hashadom Rabbi Yochanan samchina lakfeil ramah. Now that Rabbi Yochanan said you can ask a non-Jewish chef to taste it, and we'll follow zechem what he says. Achanam samchina lakfeil ramah. This is the same thing over here. We'll rely on the non-Jewish chef, and he'll tell us mevinas. So that's takapela. How can it be? We have a Mishnah in Bechiris. Around Daf Lamed, the Mishnah says, "Hachosher al adavar le'dona v'lo me'idoy." Let's say you have a kosher restaurant that's run by people who are not religious, run by Jewish people who are not religious. They themselves eat non-kosher, but they tell you that this is they respect you, and they say that all this food over here is kosher. So you can't rely on them. One who violates, let's say, the mikveh lady herself doesn't observe Taras Hamishpacha, but she's in charge of the mikveh, so she says this is acceptable for you. I don't observe the whole thing, but for you this is acceptable. So the Mishnah says, "Achoshel al adav, one who violates that particular mitzvah, like donav lamida, he can't be eidach and nevisur." Let's say there are people who would keep kosher, but they wouldn't observe taras hamishpacha. Or by svardim, you have a lot the reverse. They'll observe the more careful about taras hamishpacha, and some of them will not observe kashra. So on the area that they're observant, they have nemanis. On the area they don't observe, they don't have nemanis. So that din, hachosher al adavar, lo me'ido, is not neman, doesn't only mean if it's a Jew who violates the din. Let's say it's a non-Jew who keeps kosher, or a non-Jew who doesn't keep kosher. He didn't violate either. If he keeps kosher, he doesn't keep kosher, it's irrelevant. He doesn't have to keep kosher. So the non-Jew doesn't have to keep kosher, so he doesn't have neman. So that's the pella. How can Rabbi Yechanan say that rely on the nochri, the kfeil aramah, a nochri is a choshen al adav, al adav al amir. It doesn't have nemanis. Huh? Oh, so the Shach says that it's based on chaz aruba de leisa kama. It's not neman. Hitaka doesn't have nemanis. But he's a kfela. Kfela means he's a chef. That's what he does for a living. He's an expert chef. And if he's going to tell us, mevinis, that it doesn't taste like the fish, or it doesn't taste like the bas mechalav, and then we're going to rely on him, we're going to eat it, then we're going to see it does taste like basa b'cholov. So we're going to tell all of our friends, this guy is a shlemiel, he doesn't know what he's talking about, don't hire him to be a chef by you. So that's a chazakah, uman lo morem nase. Guy's an expert, he's not going to mislead you with misinformation because he's going to lose his panos. That's what all the hashgachas rely on. They don't have, all the kashrus organizations, they don't have a mashgiach committee sitting there all the time to make sure that they don't mix in non-kosher ingredients. They check initially, they make an initial inspection in the plant, and they see what the system is. And then they get a letter from the company that this is the way they do it, and they're not going to change the system without notifying the kashrus organization. So then the kashrus organization sends a mashgiach every so often, once a month, once every 2-3 months, whatever, to make sure that they didn't change the system. So what are we relying? We're relying on this chazak, umalai maram nasi. If they're going to switch the system without notifying us, we're going to tell everybody to boycott their products because they're not reliable people. So that's what the Shach says over here, that the reason why the kfeila aramor has namonis is because he's a kfeila. That's what he does for a living. He's a chef. So he wouldn't want to ruin his parnasa of being an expert chef by telling us mevinas. That's incorrect. He's going to tell us there is no flavor of milk, and there really is a flavor, so we're never going to hire him to cook for us.
You can rely on the Jew in an area that they observe. Is that assuming that they believe there are 613 mitzvahs, but some of them are just too hard for them to keep? Or even if they believe there are 612 mitzvahs, and you know one of them is just not a mitzvah at all? So I can rely on the 612 that they do observe.
What, I don't know what that means, that he doesn't believe that it's a mitzvah. And he doesn't believe a Torah min Hashemayim. If he doesn't believe a Torah min Hashemayim, so he doesn't have them on us. No.
So it has to be that they believe everything, but they say this is too hard for me. Yeah. I'm not able to.
Yeah, many Jews who are not so observant because it's too difficult. Not that they don't believe. he doesn't believe, so he's a pikoris, dina ka'akum, so he probably has no nemanis on anything.
Why doesn't the shach learn like Rashi? It's Messiah Hufituno. He doesn't hold the concept of Messiah Hufituno.
That's what the Taz says. The Taz says it's talking about Messiah Hufituno, just the opposite from the shach. The Shach says, not Mesech Lefituma. He knows that we're asking him a serious question that's relevant, La'alocha, and he knows this. His reputation is at stake over here. He knows he's on the line over here. He has to give the right answer because he's going to lose business. He's going to lose customers. It's a Kfeila Aramo. He's a chef. And the Taz learned, no, it's a Mesech Lefituma. So the question is, but the Gemara says, a Nochri Mesech Lefituma. Mesech Lefituma means he doesn't realize that we're relying on him for a serious halachic matter. So the Gemara says, "Menachem Mesech Lefitum is only neman by Edus Isha, by Meis Bailo." If a goy comes and tells us that he found a dead body and he knows who it is, and it's so-and-so, and so he says, "I know it's so-and-so, and therefore his wife is allowed to remarry." So that's not Mesech Lefitum. We ask him. We have an Eishes Ish, and she's down in America, her husband is missing for the longest time. Does anybody know information? This guy pipes up, a guy pipes up, and he says, yeah, I know, I was in the army with him, and there was a bomb, and his head was detached from his body. He's absolutely dead. So if the guy knows that it's relevant to be martyred to Eishes Ish, then it's not Mesech Lefitum. Mesech Lefitum means it's Mesech, he's Etzel Tamaisa, but Tamimus, Lefitum is telling that someone died, and he does know that it's relevant, Halach Lamaisa. So it's a special kula, Noch Mesech Lefitum. The Gemara says, Lehem, they only trust a Nochri Mesech Lefitumai in Edis Isha Mishum Iguna Kila Berabana. It's one of the kulas that they made by Aguna. And then the Gemara has another case where Nochri Mesech Lefitum is believed, I think it's at the end of Bava Kama. The Gemara has, I make a beehive, and I put honey there, and I attract the bees to come. So how was I kind of the bees? The bees come. I'm kind of with the king of chotze. That's a chotze shenim shtamer. The bees fly in, the bees can fly out. So the fact that I'm kind of the bees is only midirabonim. Min haTorah, I'm not kind of the bees with the king of chotze, because chotze shenim shtamer. So the Gemara says, so if a nocher mesich lefitum will tell us these bees came from his beehive, I suppose, let's say a whole 5,000 bees flying around. We don't know where they come from. And the Nochri Mesech Lefitum says it came from his beehive, not from this one. So we'll rely on the Nochri because the whole bailus that anybody has on the bees is only Midirabbanan to begin with. So just like they were Mekel by Mishum Miguna, Kilib Rabbanan, that's a din deraisa. So here they're Mekel on the Mammon is the Rabbanan. But the Gemara says otherwise, Nochri Mesech Lefitum has not believed. So that's what the Taz asks. So how come over here the Kfeil or Amor is Bagloif? Mesech Lefitumai is not believed. So the Taz has his famous answer. He says, no. He says, whenever you're dealing with this of the here, it's a Shaila. Does the milk have a flavor of flesh in it? Is it Basa B'cholav or not? Or does the Chulin have a flavor of Truma in it? So a non-Kain is not allowed to eat the chulin, because it has a tam of truma in it. So you're dealing with an iser that the mikaridin et echanem and beisurim, and anochri is kosher al adov al adon al amid. Anochri is not mitzvah to eat kosher, so he doesn't have them on us. But if he's a nach misich v'tumai, then it's enough of a biru. It's good. When the Gemara says nach misich v'tumai is not bagloip, that's by mominus or by nefoshes or by dovish of the yervo, because you have the three psukim. You have one pasuk al pishnei edim al pishlosh edim yokum dover, so that goes on mominus yokum dover. The other pasuk is al pishnei edim al pishlosh edim yumus hameis, that goes on the foshes. So dinim the foshes need to edim, dinim mominus need to edim. Then you have a pasuk that says a man is married and he wants to divorce his wife kimotzu bo ervas dover because he discovered that she was mezana tachtov. The din requires that he's not allowed to live with his wife. Asaytasu al bailo. So what do you mean? Kimotza ba'ervas davar. He discovers that she was mezana. How did he discover? So the Gemara says, "Yelani gzereshava davar davar mi mamin." By mamin it says, "Al pishnei edim al pishlosh edim yokum davar." By nefashis it says, "Yomas ameis." By mamin it says, "Yokum davar." And here it says, "Kimotza ba'ervas davar." So the gzereshava davar davar mi mamin. That's the last daf in Gittin. Gemara has like that. So by davar should be ervo to ascertain whether a woman is an eishes ish or a woman is not an eishes ish. A woman is a saita su'al abayla, she has to get divorced. So that's called Dabar Shebi'eved. So for that, you also need two Edim. So the Taz writes, when do you say that Nachum Misiach Lufi Tumay is not believed only by Edis Isha, by Aguna, Mishum Meguna Kil Birabanan, and by the beehive? That's because the beehive is Dinim Amenis, and Aguna is Dabar Shebi'eved. So the din should really require two Edim. You need a formality of two Edim. So Misiach Lufi Tumay doesn't help over there. Only by Aguna we were Mekel, and by the beehive, because the whole ownership that he has in the first place of the bees is only by the Rabbanan. But if you're dealing with a plain old case of Isurim, that Erechadem of Isurim, so then Anach Mislech Vitumah would always be good. We don't accept that Taz. Usually, whenever there's Machlech's Taz in the Shach, usually we don't accept the Taz. We don't accept the Taz, that's not so. By Dinim Deraisa, for sure, Anach Mislech Vitumah is not Naman, even if it's Erechadem of Isurim. We don't accept the Taz. In my dinim there are abundance of machloikas. That's one of the shaylus. The Orzarua lived in Vienna, and he heard that there was a Tosis Rid lived in Italy. I don't know, how did he know? They had newspapers, that Torah job. How did he know? I don't know. How did the Rishonim know of each other? They lived in different parts of Europe. So he sent a long letter to the Tosis Rid, where that was, I think, 14 shaylus or 24 shaylus. I don't remember really. So he has all the shaylus. So one of the shaylos was, but the Nochim Misiach Levitum is believed on an issue of the Rabbanan. No, on an issue of the Raisa Zobgeret, that he's not Neman by Yisurim. What about an issue of the Rabbanan? And he answered him back that he's not even Neman on a din the Rabbanan either. Nochim Misiach Levitum is only Neman by the two cases that the Gemara has, by Edis Isha, Mishum Aguna, Kila Be Rabbanan, a special Kula by Aguna, and by the bees, because the whole kinyan that the owner has on the bees is only with the Rabban to begin with, because he was never kohen, he was only kohen with a chotz sheni mishtameres. But it's not believed. That's the tshuva that he answers. The Tosis Rid answers, he quotes a pasuk in Tilim, that the pasuk in Tilim talks about nachrim, how much namanas do they have. So it says, ha-shapim di-boshavim minim imin shokev v'chol devarim devarim b'teil. That's what he writes. The Nochri, you can't rely on the Nochim from Dan and Aher, even on a din de Rabbanon, even Mesiach Lefitum. Hashapir, the Pasuk is Hashapim, di Boshavi Minim, Min Shoker. And then the Tosis Rid, Adzam, Vachol de Rem, Dvar Meteo. We had a professor in the yeshiva who didn't know how to read Shuvas. So he said he thought that the Tosis Rid was insulting the Ozerua, and he said he wrote about him, Chol Dvar, Dvar Meteo. He meant the guy, Chol Dvar, Dvar Meteo. Didn't know how to read. Yeah, he didn't know how to read Shuvas. You can learn a lot of history from the tshuvas, but you have to know how to read the tshuvas. So that's a diyun in Shulchan Aruch. That's a machlokes in Yeridaya. If a noch misich levitum is neman, and a recha dem misum, and a derabbanon. So the Tosis Rid quotes the tshuva from the or Zeruah quotes the tshuva from the Tosis Rid that he's not neman, and some other Rishayim and Achranim hold that he's neman on derabbanon, but on their Isis, he's not neman. So that's, we don't really accept that taz at all. Taz didn't have access to the Taz just had a Gemara. Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos. They said that Taz was once Matam and Aguna based on a Gemara and a Tur. He didn't have Svar. The Shach had every Sefer in creation. The Shach was unbelievable. The Shach was unbelievable. He grows almost like a machine gun. He quotes all the Rishonim and all the Achronim. He had a tremendous library. Taz hardly had anything. Taz usually has Pilpulim. Has a pilpul on the Beis Yosef, on the Girse, on the Tur, on the Gemara, has pilpulim. Shach doesn't go pilpulim. Shach quotes and he quotes and he quotes and he comes to a maskan. So that's what over here, that's the machloikis. Why is the Nochri Mesiach Levitum? Why is he believed? So the Taz says because he's a Nochri Mesiach Levituma. And he's Neman on Dinim Deraisa. We don't accept that. For Dinim Deraisa, for sure, not even Dinim Derabanan. Machloikis. What's an example of a Din Derabanan? In Shulchan Aruch, they assume there's a din, you're not allowed to shecht a behemah until it's 8 days old. The pasuk says you're not allowed to bring a korban. Shivas yamim yatachasimam yamim shemina v'holi yirotza the korban yishal shem. I have to wait till the eighth day to bring it as a korban. So the Gemara assumes that probably the reason why you have to wait till the eighth day is because it's a suffik nefa. Maybe it was lekola lechadosha. Maybe it wasn't a full term pregnancy. In which case, it's not shaykh to shecht it. So the Gemara says, even if you're shechting behemas chulin, the din in the chumash, you have to wait till the eighth day, even applies if it's vada yadush and kala chadosha. Let's say the farmer knows, let's say he did artificial insemination. That's what they all do now on the farms. They do artificial insemination. So he knows Bavadai when it became pregnant. He knows Bavadai that this was a full-term pregnancy. Still, the halacha is he can't bring it as a carbon before the eighth day. That's a din deraisa, that even if it's yadua shekala chadosha, you know it's full-term pregnancy, you can't bring it as a carbon until the eighth day. But the Gemara assumes that the reason why the Torah said you have to wait till the eighth day is because sometimes it'll be a suffix whether it's a full-term pregnancy. So if you wait till the eighth day, then it's yotze mechlal suffix nefel. If you know it's a full-term pregnancy, then you can shecht it right away. If you don't know, then you have to wait till the eighth day. So in Shulchan Aruch, many assume that that's only a din derabbanan, that you have to wait till the eighth day before you shecht the behemah. It's only a din derabbanan. So that's why some want to say that if a nochri would tell you that I know for sure that it's yodua, to tell you I know it's already the eighth day. It's already 8 days. He tells me, oh, it was born 2 weeks ago. And he doesn't realize that it's relevant to halacha. And it's not mashbiach nikko. A lot of times the goy will give false advertising. If it's better for his sales purposes to say that this behemo was born a month ago, so you can't trust him, it's mashbiach nikko, who I'm just saying, maybe it's false advertising. Or if he knows that it's relevant to halacha, the Jew has to know, the Jew can't shecht it until the 8 days. So if you're going to say that it's the 8 days, so it's not misich levitumai. But if he tells you, Mesiach Lefidoma, so that's a machloikis in Yerideya. On the assumption that waiting till the eighth day is only midirabbanan, not everybody agrees that it's only midirabbanan. Some said, the Ramam is mashma that it's a real din deraisa. But in Yerideya, they assume waiting till the eighth day is only midirabbanan by shechting chulin. So they quote the machloikis, but the noch Mesiach Lefidoma is believed. By Mesiach Lefidoma, by din derabbanan. By din deraisa, for sure, he's not believed. So we don't accept that task. So the Shach says it's because he's a kfela. Kfela is an expert, and his bedavkin not misteich levitum. He knows that we're relying on him, and he knows he's putting his reputation on the line. And if we're going to realize that he miscalculated, that it does have the flavor of flesh in the milk, then we're not going to ask him to cook for us. We're not going to hire him as a chef, because we see he's not a maven. Yeah, so that's... That's what Rava didn't realize till he heard this in the name of Rabbi Yechonah. Says now everything is forever. The Omar Rava on the last line, my Rava says there are three different psukim. Sometimes we pass an A, sometimes B, and sometimes C. Omar Rabbanu B'Taima. Sometimes the rabbis say it depends. You have to taste the food to see if it has the flavor of the trefa food. The Omar Rabbanu B'Kveila. Sometimes you have a Jew taste it, but sometimes you have a non-Jewish chef taste it. Kveila. Rabbanan, b'shishim, and sometimes says bottle b'shishim. So when is it which? So he says hilkach. Therefore, this is the system. This is the yoridei. He says min b'sheina minai the hetere. What does that mean? Let's say they cooked the milk in mashed potatoes. You're not sure how much milk they put in. Does it have the flavor? Are the mashed potatoes, are they milchik, or are they parvah? If you put in so little milk that it doesn't give them the sinas time, so the potatoes are parvah, so you can put in flesh into it. So, mim b'shein amina deheter, everything is kosher, just as shayla is in milchik. Or let's say they cook truma in vegetable soup, and a kohen is allowed to eat truma, kohen tohar. So tell the kohen tohar, taste the vegetable soup, and tell us what it has in the sinas time. So there the din is b'taima, have the Jew taste it, and they tell us, but it has the tongue. The isura, let's say they cooked kosher food in a treifa pot. A little bit of chazashmatz fell into the soup, and you don't know whether it gives nesinas tam or not. So you have to have the kfela, have a goyish chef taste it, and we'll rely on him, the kfela ramo. And if it's min b'minoi, the leka lemeka mataima, let's say treifa nevele flesh fell into a pot full of kosher flesh. And it's cooking there for an hour, and then I realize it, and I identify which is the trefa piece of flesh, and I take it out, and then I fed it to the dog, and the dog ate it up. Now I can't calculate. I don't remember how big it was, and how do I calculate whether it was batel b'shishim, whether it succeeded in giving the sinas tam? So everything is flesh. The whole thing is flesh. So you can't say, let a goy taste it, it's going to taste like flesh. The nevela flesh that fell in is flesh, and the flesh that it fell into is flesh. Everything is flesh. So min ha-Torah, we assume min b'minoi is batel b'roiv. You don't need shishim. You don't need shishim because there is no nesinas tam. You can't say tam ki'ikar. But with the Rabbanon, you require shishim. That's how most assume. Min b'minoi, lach b'lach, you only need shishim ederabanon. So he said, if it's min b'mina, the lech and the mekam atayma, it's not going to help. No one can tell the sinas tam. Everything has the same flavor. So then the din is, you need shishim. Inam imim shein aminoi de isura, v'lecha kfeila. Or let's say there is no goy shechef to taste it, and it's mim shein amina, but there is no goy, and a Jew can't taste it, it may be treif. So if it may be treif, you're not allowed to taste it, you may swallow some of it. So then the din is, that is bishish. That's aloha. That's how we pass it, yeah. So the Mechaba quotes all these dinim. Rabbi Yosef Kara quotes all the dinim, and he says, we rely on Te'imas Kfeilo Aramo. We rely on the Nochri, who says that he tasted it, and it doesn't have the flavor of the treif of fish, it doesn't have the flavor of the meat and the milk, or it doesn't have, right? We rely on Kfeilo Aramo. The Ramo puts in a Chumra for Ashkenazim, we don't rely on Te'imas Kfeilo Aramo. You always need Shishim. So that's a question, what the Prima Gadim writes, it's a question, what was the Ramo driving at? Why does the Rama say that we don't rely on Timas Kfeila Arama? So there are two ways to understand the Rama. Either he thinks that there's a Yeridus Adoris. So Namol Gitzait and the days of the Gemara, the Helig Yanachrim were on a higher level, and you can rely on them. And you can't rely, so we don't rely on the Nachrim. That's the Pshat. You don't rely on the Nachri. But if a Jew would tell you, let's say it's Hetera, you put in milk in the mashed potatoes, and you don't know whether it has an Asinus Tam or not, you don't rely on the Nachri. But if a Jew will tell you, a religious Jew would tell you it doesn't taste, the mashed potatoes doesn't taste milky at all, then you will rely on Timas. It's not Kvela Aramor, not a Goy. A Yiddish person, a religious person, will rely. Is that what the Ramah meant? We don't trust Nochrim today because the Yiridus Adoris is by the Nochrim. Or maybe the Ramah meant to say a different opinion. There's a Rashi has a different Shita in the next Gemara. Where's the next Gemara? The next Gemara is on Tzadik Ches on the base. So when we get there, we'll have to discuss it. The Rashi is a little bit over here on Tzadik Ches on the base. Then of all places, the Rashi is in Bav Metzia. It doesn't belong in Bav Metzia at all. The Rashi is in Perek HaZohav. Talks about the Didi Mamet is there. So there's a Rashi there in Bav Metzia, Perek HaZohav. Rabbi Kivega on the side of the Gemara, so it doesn't know what in the world Rashi is talking about. But that's the famous Shitas Rashi, that the Rishonim point that Rashi Shita is when you have a mixture of Lach Balach, Kosher with Treif, so even if it's Min B'mino, you need Shishim to be, before you bat an eyelash, you have to have shishim. Then after shishim, if you have lach balach, if you have yavish b'yavish, let's say I bought one treif of salami. I have non-Jewish workers who work for me, and I have to pay them a salary and I have to give them a lunch. So I'm not mechuyav to serve them glatt kosher flesh. I can buy in the veil. I can't buy basa b'chala. Basa b'chala is also b'ano. So I'm getting hana. If I buy basa b'chalav and I feed it to my workers, and I'm a shubid, that's part of the contract. I have to give them food. So I can't give me suri ha. I can't give them yai nesach. Yai nesach is also b'ano. So you're not allowed to give me yai nesach. But you're allowed to give them the vela meat. So let's say I bought one tray for salami for the workers, and I bought two kosher salamis for my family. And then I took off the wrapper. Now I can't identify which, by accident, now I can't identify which is the kosher salami, which is the tray salami. So let's say one, two, three. The three salamis, there's no way to tell. There's no way to tell which is the kosher salami, which is the treif salami. Everything tastes exactly the same. Same size, the same weight, everything the same. Everything the same. So that's a din. It's yavish b'yavish. There's no nesinas tam. And chad b'treif is bottom. If you have two kosher salamis and one treif salami, so you go basarayv, and you're allowed to eat two of them. Okay, don't eat all three. We have a chumah, don't eat all three. Fine. We assume you should need all three. But the shaila is, if you have lach balach, I cooked everything together. So the treif of salami is going to give an asinus tam into the other two, but it all tastes the same. It's all salami tastes exactly the same. A flesh with flesh, a fish with fish, it all has the same asinus tam. So Rashi is shita unique. Tosis says, on Tzadik Chaim Beis, they don't know what Rashi is talking about. But this is Rashi's opinion. So Rashi holds, based on that Gemara, that you always need shishim before you bat an eyelash. And after you have shishim, then we discuss the topic. So if it's min b'minoi, and you have shishim, so then it's a machlokes hatanoim, whether min b'minoi is b'mashahu, or min b'minoi is batul. And the Gemara is going to quote, I think we discussed it when we learned Perikisi Adam. The din is that you only need, when you shecht chai v'yoif, so you have to do kisei adam. When you shecht the behemi, you don't need kisei adam. When you shecht chickens or turkeys or deer, so you have to do a mitzvah kisei adam, you have to have offer melamayda, offer melamata. So what if I shecht a lot of behemoths and there's a big puddle of dam here, then I shecht one or two chickens and there's a little bit of dam of the chickens gets mixed in with a whole puddle full of dam of the behemoths. Do you say the dam of the chickens is batel b'roiv? There's way more than 50% of the dam. The taruvus here is dam behemoth that's not chayim kisei adam, and a miut of the dam has a mitzvah kisei adam. So do you say that the dam of the chayim b'roiv that requires kisei adam is batel b'roiv? It's batel b'roiv, so I don't have to do the mitzvah of kisei adam. Or do you say min aloy batel? So the Gemara had a machlokes hatanoim. So the Gemara said there, and the Gemara is going to repeat it again here on Tzadik Ches on the days. What is it based on? So the Pasuk says that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to shech the par, and it has to shech the soy lachatas. A par achatas, a shaloi, and the soy lachatas paid for by the tzibur, by the machtas ha-shekel money. Par achatas, he pays for in the soy. So he does the zrikas hadam on the par separately. He does the zrika in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in front of the Oroin. Then he does, repeats the zrika in front of the paroiches when he's standing in the hechel. And then after that, he does the parnach and the sor. And then he mixes the dam, ma'arvin lekronis. He mixes it, avalokach midam apon midam sor. He mixes together ma'arvin lekronis. The mizbeach usually do zrika sadam of karbonis and the mizbeach achitzen. The two mizbeaches. There's mizbeach apnimi in the hechel that you only do haktoras haktoras. And once a year on Yom Kippur, you do zrika sadam. And then the regular Mizbach Ha'ilus on the outside. It's in the Azara. So on Yom Kippur, he has to mix together Lakach HaKayin, Lidam HaParm, Adamus, and mixes together Ma'arv and Lakronis. Then he do the Zvik on the Karnis HaMizbech HaPnimi. So the Gemara raises a question. The Par is a big fat animal. The Sor is a skinnier animal. So Dovi Yadua, the Dam HaPar is going to be, even if you hold the cup, even if you hold the Klishor is under the neck, for just 3 seconds, Dam HaPor is going to be gushing out a lot of dam. Dam HaSor is going to be very little dam. It's not going to be exactly 50-50. You can rig it that it should be the reverse. Let's say I'll hold the klishoris under the neck of the par for 1 second, and I'll hold the klishoris under the neck of the sor for 5 seconds. So I'll have more dam from the Dam HaSor than from the Dam HaPor. But you're not going to have, it's one chance in 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, going to be meruba midam asor. And if you rig it the other way, it'll be the other way. The dam asor will be meruba from the dam apar. So whichever is more than 50% should win. And I should say the miyuk is bottle beripe. So how is the kain gadol then fulfillment of the mitzvah? Well, look, hakain midam apar midam asor, and he's zorek on the mizbech hapnimi. Whichever one is less than 50% is bottle beripe. So how is he mikam the mitzvah? Well, look, midam apar midam asor. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Mikan, you see from the Pasuk, that Mimimina is b'mashal, that is not bottle, and it retains its identity. The Dama Asar is called Dama Asar, and the Dama Par is called Dama Par. Even though one is clearly way more than the other, it can't be that it's 50-50. That's highly improbable. It's going to be exactly 50-50. And Ruba de Ruba is going to be the Dama Par, is going to be Meruba. So the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim hold that what you learn out from the pasuk for lokach midam apar midam asar is not that every case of min b'min is not bottle. No, mikam la'olin shem mevatlum zezeh. The dam apar and dam asar is supposed to be have a zrika on the mizbech. So you learn from the pasuk that things that are korev on the mizbech olim, things that are olal gabi hamizbech are not mevatle each other. But you cannot extrapolate from this pasuk that in kol ha'torah kula min b'minoi will never be bottle. So that's a machlekes of Yehuda and Chachamim. What do you learn out from the pasuk? So beauty is of the opinion that min b'mino has always been mashu, and the Chachamim disagree. That's a big machlokes. How do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? So here there's a big Tosfos Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph. This is a very important thesis. They're big, they're gigantic. Amar Rava. So Rashi, so Tesis says, L'kaman, b'perikol ha-basar, it says, Dav Kuf Tes. Pasak b'kuntris, Rashi usually doesn't give a psak. Rashi usually just gives pirushim. But once in a while, Rashi gives you a psak halacha. So here, Rashi has two piskei halacha, both of which we don't accept. Rashi goes out of his way to say what the psakah, we don't accept either. So number one, Tosis quotes, Rashi writes, Pasuk HaKuntris, Rashi writes, Kereb Yudin. The Mimimina Loi Batal, and he has a whole Arich, and Tosis says, we don't accept that Rashi. We pass like the Rabbanon, the Mimimina Loi is Batal. Then there's a Tosis later, where Tosis quotes the other Rashi. Here's a Tosis Tzadik Ches on the base, Rava Omar, the bottom Tosis, Rav Amar, goes over to Amud Aleph, to the start off, Rashi paskens that atam kik alav deraisa. That if you cook a little chazashmaltz falls into a pot of vegetable soup, chazashmaltz is way less than 50%. A little bit, you pour in a little trefa flavoring into a pot of soup, it's way less than 50%. So that's called tam kikir. When I eat the soup, I can taste that it has the chazashmaltz in it. But it's clearly less than 50%. So Rashi paskens la locha that tam kikir is lav deraisa, and we don't pasken like that. Tosis goes to head to disagree that it's just not accepted. We pasken tam kikir is deraisa. Tam kikir is deraisa, not just the rabbanon. The nafkamina is if it's deraisa, the suffik deraisa luchumra. If it's the rabbanon, the suffik derabbanon lekula. So that's the beginning of Yerideh Simit Tzadikhes. That's the simit about taruvis when the isa falls into heta. So they say. They say like this, let's say, I know for sure that chazashmaltz fell into a pot of soup. That's a bad example. I don't know. That's what they have in Shulchan Aruch. Chazashmaltz fell into soup, and I don't know exactly how much chazashmaltz fell in, and I don't know whether I have shishim or not. There's no way to ascertain whether you have shishim. So the Shulchan Aruch it says it's based on the Rishonim. If you hold like Rashi, the Tam Kikr is only awesome at the Rabbanon, so Sofik the Rabbanon Lekula. So if you have a Sofik, if you have Shishim, so you go Lekula. But since we pass from like Taistris, the Tam Kikr is an Issa Deraisa, that's the Taistris Tzarekhes on the days, so that's the Sofik Deraisa Lechumra. If you don't have Shishim, it'll be an Issa Deraisa, it's the Sofik Deraisa Lechumra. So these are the two Rashis, both of which we don't accept. Rashi usually doesn't tell you Psak Aloch. Rashi in the Tshuvas has Pisky Aloch. Rashi on the Gemara rarely gives you. So here, both are in Rashi on the Gemara. And Tosis in a few Masechtas has this dispute with Rashi. We don't accept Rashi Shita Mim Amina B'mashu. We pass Mim Amina is Bottle. And we don't accept Rashi Shita that Tam Kikir is the Rabbanon. We hold that Tam Kikir is the Rice. So Rashi Shita happens to be based on this Gemara. We'll have to go through it to see it again. Rashi holds, whenever you have Lach Balach, if you have three salamis, one over here, one over here, one over here, the three salamis got mixed up, and one is in Alaska, and one is in California, and one is in Cape Town. They're three different continents, let's say. That's a tarubis of yavish biyavish. It's a tarubis of, it's not a tarubis of blila, it's not blended in together. I don't know which is the treif, which is the kosher. So then the din is, yavish biyavish, chad betrei is bottle. If the two are kosher, one is, let's say if you have two treif of salamis got mixed in with three kosher salamis. So that's also called, most told that that's also called chad betrei. You don't need four kosher salamis. You don't have to twice as much. Let's say you have five treif of salamis got mixed into six kosher salamis. You have 11 salamis. Five treif of salamis and six kosher salamis. Right. So that's also called roi. Most of the poskim hold you don't need kefil. You don't need twice as much. But the Gemara says that yavish biyavish chad betrei is batal. It doesn't mean chad betrei doesn't have to be twice as much. There is such a maharsho and psochim that you need twice as much. He claims that that's pshat and taisvis, and so they say, even if it is true, that's only midir rabbanon. That's not a din menatar. Menatar, there is no such thing that you need kefil. It's only midir rabbanon. So again, so Rashi's opinion happens to be, Rashi's shita is, when you have a taruvus of blila, that there's the flavor, you're cooking everything together. Not a taruvus of sofik. One is in Alaska, one is in California, one is in South Africa. Not that, it's a... everything was cooked together, and the flavors are mixing together. So Rashi's shita, based on the Gemara, is you need shishin before you bat an eyelash. Before there's not a thing to discuss, you need shishim. After you have the shishim, now what do you do? So Rashi says, and now if it's min b'mina, now starts the machloikas, whether min b'mina b'mashahu or not. So Rashi happens to pass like Rabbi Yehuda, the min b'mina b'mashahu. We don't accept it. So Rashi says, though, but if you don't have shishim, everybody agrees that it's an isa deraisa. And Rabbi Kevegi writes, he never heard of this. But what's Rashi talking about? That if you don't have shishim, by min b'minai, you don't have shishim, it's an isa deraisa. Why should that be so? But that's what the Rishonim say. That was Rashi Shita. And then Rashi holds, if you have min b'shena minai, so if you don't have shishim, there's nothing to discuss. Everything is straight. If you have shishim and it's still nice and tam, so then starts the machlokes with the tam kika deraisa derabbanan. So Rashi paskins tam kika is only derabbanan. After you have shishim, before you have shishim, there's nothing to discuss. Rashi holds even min b'minai. You need shishim. And this is none of this Rashi made its way to Yeridei. Yeridei, they don't paskin like any of this Rashi.
The three cases that we had,
yeah,
you know, where one because the
tam,
the other, shouldn't we establish what you just said? You have to start first with shishim, and even that may not be enough.
That's how Rashi holds. You always have to start with shishim. Rashi holds minatera. You always have to start with shishim whenever there's a taruvis flavors lach balach. And after you have shishim, if it's still nice and tam, so then it's a din of tam kika. But before you have shishim, Rashi holds nothing to discuss. And we don't paskin like that. We paskin if you can tell less than shishim that it's not nice and tam, so it's mutter. If the goy tells me or the Jew tells me.
We don't do that. We don't do that. But when you get your case that the OU did ask a goy such a situation.
So the Ramah says you don't ask a goy. The Ramah says the mini by the Ashkenazim you don't ask a goy. So that's why I started to say the Prima Godim is not sure what the Ramah meant. Why is it you don't trust a goy, or the Ramah meant to be machma like Rashi, that before you have shishim there's nothing to discuss. So the afkamina is, let's say Truma fell into Chulin. So you can ask a koyim to taste it. We don't have by us. Everybody's tomei. All the kadam atomei said he can't eat truma. A chalas chutzlar. It's his bottle berayv. Yes, by us the whole shadow doesn't come up. But what does come up is the following. The mechaber of Yosef Karo paskins that you can rely on the goy tasting. The Ramo says Ashkenazim don't rely, but the Sfardim would follow the mechaber that you can't trust the goy. There's a famous psak from Rabbi Shaul Leib Diskin. He moved to Eretz Yisrael. He used to be the Rav in Brisk, and then the government was out to get him because of they thought that he did something against the Din and Malchusa, so he ran away to Eretz Yisrael. He's a big goyin, big machmer and everything, a big goyin. So he gave a famous hayro, a famous psak in Eretz Yisrael, they were Ashkenaz. He never saw, in Europe, he never saw an Sephardi. Never saw any Sephardi. But in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of Sephardim there. He lived 100 years ago. He died 100 years ago. So, more than 100 years ago. So he had a famous psak. Dreyfus fell into kosher, and it was not clear whether there was shishim or not. So they asked the goy to taste it. The goy said he doesn't taste the flavor of the dreyfus. So according to Rabbi Yosef Karo, it's mutter for the Jews to eat it. So they fed it to a Sfardi, and they asked the Sfardi, you eat it, you can rely on the goy. The goy said it doesn't have any flavor of dreyfus. So the Jew, the Sfardi, tasted it. He says it doesn't taste the flavor of the treifas. And that was the Jew saying that it doesn't taste the flavor. So even the Ramah, who says that we don't trust Timas Kvelo, that's because the Kvelo is a goy. But if it's a religious Jew who tasted it, and he says that it's kosher, so he would trust the Jew.
After the goy tasted.
After the goy. So the goy tasted, he says, has no nesinas tam of the treifas, so Sfardi can rely on the goy. Then the Sfardi tasted, and he says, and he's a religious Sfardi. He says it doesn't taste the flavor of treifas. Even the Ramah would agree that you can Ashkenazim can eat it also, because the Ramah just meant to say that a goy doesn't have them on. It says that you read his Adaris, we don't trust the goy in Bizman Azet. But if it's a religious Jew who says it doesn't taste the treifas, even the Ramah would say you can't rely. So this whole famous Hayroah from Yeshua Leib Diskin, the Chochmah, the Pikas that he gave, that's on the assumption that the Ramah's Chumrah that you don't trust Kvelos Ramah is only on a goy you don't trust. But if a Jew will say Mavinas, a religious Jew, you will trust him. And the Bima Gaon wasn't sure whether that's Pshat in the Ramah. Maybe the Ramah meant to paskin like Rashi, that before you have shishim, whenever there's a blila, whenever there's a cooked it all together, before shishim, nothing helps. So Reb Shulai Diskin held the other way. He held not like that suffix of the Bima Gaon. Anyway, this is all Yeridaya. This gigantic Taisus, this is all Yeridaya. The next couple of blocks is going to be straight Yeridaya. Okay, we'll stop here. In this week's Sedra in Parshas Va'era, you have a few times Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro he's going to daven for him and the Makkah will end. So it says, Vayusuf, Vayufas Kapo Vel Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu raises his hands and he davens. And it says in Tanakh later that Shlomo HaMelech davened Priest's Kapayim. So in Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Kiveger quotes Achronim and Hilchas Shmoneh Esrei, Hilchas Tefillah, they raise the question, when the Chachamim made the Takana, we should daven in a specific position, we stand with our feet together, and sometimes we say Tachnun B'Nefilas Apayim, and then we sit, and then we stand. Not with our feet together, we do all forms. That's what it's the meaning is, that when you say Tachni, you do B'Nefilas Apayim, then you say, you sit up straight, you say Sham Yisrael, and then after sitting, then you stand up and you say, I give up. We don't know what to do. We said Tefillah with our feet together, B'Nefilas Apayim, and B'Yeshiva. Now we're standing, we don't know what more we can do. We daven in all the forms. So we daven in different forms. How come we don't daven the priest's kapai? In the days of Tanakh, that's how they used to daven. So Rabbi Kiveger quotes the Achronim. It's a question whether this answer is historically accurate. He says that the Christians picked up on this, and the Christians introduced that when they pray, they raise their hands. So since the Avodah Zarah picked it up, so that's why, yeah. So that's why the Chacham didn't want to introduce it. That's a question. This was already Bizman Han Sheknes Hagdailah. Maybe. That's what the Achronim are assuming. That already during the lifetime of the Anshei Knes HaGdailah, they never introduced priests Kapayim because the Avodah Avodah Zarah did it, Avodah Zarah, so they didn't want to mimic them. I don't know. That's a question. The Vilna Goyen has on the Pasuk in Shabbos Chazon, we say from the beginning the Haftoris from Yeshaya, Chazon Yeshaya Ben Amotz. So the Pasuk says, Uvel Farischem Kapechem Alamein Amekem Idechem Domim Aleu. When you stretch your hands out. So the Vilna Goyen says, "Vafrischem kapechem" is when they duchen. The Gemara says, "Koyin shehargas hanefesh leyisas kapa." The koyin who murdered someone, even accidentally, also he shouldn't duchen because "Vafrischem kapechem" when you duchen, "Alameinim mekem yidechem damim alay" because you killed. And also "Vafrischem kapechem" when you daven, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is not going to accept the prayers because yidechem damim alay. So the Vilna Goyen on that pasuk, it's written by the Talmid Hagro. The only thing that the Vilna Goyen himself wrote was the Bir Agron Shulchan Aruch and on Kabbalah. And everything else on Tanakh, it's all written notes from the Talmid HaGro. So they quote in the name of the Vilna Goyen on that Pasuk, Rizchem Kapechem is two different things. When you duchen, the Kanim hold the hands like this. And when you daven, you hold your hands like this. So what is that? Why a difference? And he says, similar to the opening Mishnah Masechah Shabbos, it talks about hoitzua, that you're not allowed to carry from the Rishus HaYochid into the Rishus HaRabma, the reverse. So it says, the Oni comes to the Balabais, and he has his hand stretched out, he asks for a handout, he asks for money, he asks for food, and the Balabais gives him. So the Oni is asking for a handout, so he holds his hands like this, he wants to receive something, and the Balabais is giving, holds his hand like this, he puts the food or he puts the money in his hand. So by duchening, the Kohanim are giving a brochem. So they're like the Balabais who give, so they should hold their hands like this. And by davening, we daven priest's kapayim, you hold hands like this. You want the Rebbeinu Shlomo to give you something. So it's not the same priest's kapayim. One is like this, one is like that. An open hand to receive or a hand to give. But they're both referred to as priest's kapayim. Yeah, that's a shayla, the Vilna Goyen. They quote from the Chayodim, quotes from the Vilna Goyen, that the minig always was that on Shavuos they would put the plants around in the shul. Zeichel Amayim in HaSinai, that there was grass growing on HaSinai. But then because they introduced this practice in the churches, that they beautify the church by having flowers or plants around the whole church, so the Vilna Goyen says we should discontinue it. Because it says in the Chumash that in the days of the Ovis, they used to bring karbonis on a matzeva. A mizbech, you have a lot of stones put together. Matzeva is one slab of stone, and you bring all the karbonis on that. But since the Avodah Zarah adopted that practice that they bring korbanos to the Avodah Zarah on a matzeva, so the Torah says we shouldn't do it l'shamayim, even though we did it first. But since the Avodah Zarah picked it up, so we refrain from doing it. So that's Rabbi Kiveger quotes about davening the priest's kapayim. Even though in Tanakh that's the way they used to daven, But because the Avdei Avodah Zarah picked it up, so the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah didn't want to introduce that. The Gedukim had it down. Okay. He was very good also, whoever got it.
Your son-in-law gave a very good shiur on a Sunday morning. Tanchun Kong.
Oh?
Yeah, Tanchun Kong.
Where? Yom Rishon?
Yom Rishon.
Oh?
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
It was the holiday weekend.